Hi, everybody. So this might seem out of order when you're listening to this because I had previously recorded the episode, but then the devastating news just dropped, or I just got the notification to my phone that one of America's favorite dads, TV dads, Bob Saget, has passed away at the age of 65. I just got the notification from TMZ. And I mean, it's truly devastating. You know, he's one of those actors, characters, fixtures in many of our lives that we grew up with, of course, Full House and then Fuller House. I mean, I also loved him from Entourage. He was in a few episodes as himself, but, you know, maybe a characterized version. But basically what TMZ is saying, and then, of course, as more details come out over the week, I will talk more about this devastating story. Bob Saget has died at the age of 65, TMZ has learned. Multiple sources connected to the iconic comedian and actor, most famous for his starring role as Danny Tanner in Full House, tell us as in TMZ, he passed away Sunday at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. The Sheriff's Department and Fire Department responded to the hotel around 4 p.m. Eastern Time after hotel security had found Bob in his room. TMZ is told he was pronounced dead on the scene, but the circumstances of his death are still unclear. Bob's been touring the country lately, hitting a lot of destinations throughout the state of Florida, including in Orlando, which got started in September and was supposed to take him through May. On Saturday night, he was in Jacksonville doing a show at the Ponte Verde concert hall, where he actually shouted out the crowd early Sunday morning. And then there is a tweet from Bob himself with a very nice photo. Saget wrote, quote, "Love tonight's show at PV Concert Hall in Jacksonville. Appreciative of the audience. Thanks again at Real Tim Wilkins for opening. I had no idea I did a two-hour set tonight. I'm happily addicted again to this shit. Check out," and then he provides a link for his tour. Saget played the patriarch on the ABC hit sitcom for almost 10 years, landing the lead starring role in 1987, and finishing the first iteration in 95. Opposite stars John Stamos, Dave Coulier, and of course, not to mention his TV daughters, Candace Cameron Bure, Jodie Sweetin, and then the iconic duo, that is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, who swapped duties of portraying Michelle Tanner. Well, his turn as a quintessential family man is what a lot of people remember him for. Truth is, Saget was a pretty raunchy guy, especially in a stand-up comedy. I had heard that. I'd never been to one of his shows. I didn't have the honor to get to go to one of his shows, but I really, really did. And I had heard he was an amazing stand-up. Obviously, he was incredible as an actor, but so many great comics are incredible actors just because they have the chops, they're funny, and Bob Saget was definitely one of those individuals. Especially in his stand-up comedy, Bob Saget's comedy contributions were put on full display in his memorable Comedy Central roast, where a ton of his longtime comic buddies tore him a new one, kiddingly and with love. He proved to be a good sport, taking shots from the likes of Gilbert Gottfried, Norm Macdonald, Greg Giraldo, John Lovitz, Jeff Ross, Brian Posehn, and others. He even had some jokes of his own to fire off, making for perhaps one of the most memorable roasts in the Comedy Central vault. Speaking of Saget's influence on the craft, Bob's other notable acting credits included a recurring role on Entourage, as I just mentioned. He was so great, in which he played a zany version of himself, the narrator's voice of How I Met Your Mother, another sitcom he starred in called Raising Dad, one of the penguins in Farce of the Penguins, and the lead in Surviving Suburbia, and standout cameo in Half-Baked as a recovering crackhead, among many, many other appearances on film and television over the years. Lately, he's been getting back to his roots with a podcast series called Bob Saget's Here For You. It was even featured as one of the celebrity guests on The Masked Singer not too long ago. How fun. The last time TMZ got him was out in late 2019 when he was laughing it up with fans in the pops outside of Craig's in West Hollywood, which I live right by, while also taking photos and signing autographs, which is so awesome that, you know, when there are these characters, or when there's actors that are so beloved through their characters and they're so nice to their fans, it's a great thing. Bob is survived by his wife, Kelly Rizzo, and three children. Rest in peace. I mean, this is really, 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 really devastating, again, because Full House was sort of a staple show growing up, like Growing Pains and Friends, and it's just very devastating, and I offer my condolences, of course, to his wife and his children, his friends, his family, and, you know, the legions and legions of fans, much like myself out there, that really loved his work, and of course, as more details come out with regards to this tragic passing, I will definitely report and talk about it. So rest in peace, Bob Saget. You were an incredible talent, a massive, massive talent, and you will be deeply missed. And now the episode is going to get back to my pre-recorded set, which, again, it might seem out of order, but this story was recorded after I had finished my episode. So here is the original episode. Bye, everybody. Happy Monday. Well, hello, Charlotte. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday as I entered V2, the Mistress of Pop Culture. Ah, what a weekend, what a weekend, what a weekend. Quite a productive weekend, a very busy weekend. I had a lot of stuff done. I had, spritzed up my place a little bit, spent a lot of time with my dog, got a COVID test, went for a walk, went for dinner and drinks, and lived my best life because that's all you can really do in this great pandemic of 2022, which we are still going through, which I'm assuming we're going to be going through for the rest of our lives. Even though, you know, all these reports are saying, the CDC is saying, Dr. Fauci is saying, the government's saying, the police are saying, everybody's like, you know, we're gonna, this is all gonna come to an end. But I don't think so because of how, just determined these variants are. If only, like, people could be as determined as these variants, you know, till they succeed in life. But, you know, as I say, that's the cookie crumbles. But I hope everybody had a fabulous weekend and live their best lives. Now, you may be thinking, why does he always sound congested? I do have a little bit of a cold, and yes, I do keep getting COVID testing, but there's just, like, so many things going on in the air right now. And yes, I always wear a mask when I go out, except for when I go for a walk and I need some fresh air, because, like, literally, I need some fresh air. But, you know, I'm just like, what the hell? But, you know, it's the common cold season. I want to talk about the common cold for a second. First of all, there's nothing common about the common cold because you don't feel common when you have a cold. The irony of it all, the juxtaposition of it all, the ridiculousness of it all. But honestly, I just like don't understand the common cold. Like, go away. But then also I welcome it because that's how, you know, your body builds immunity and whatnot. Like, I sound like such a doctor. Like, what am I? Wikipedia? No, not Wikipedia. What is that website that everybody goes to when you like you have like weird symptoms and then you're like, oh, let me Google this. I don't even know. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. My brain just isn't working right now because it is, in fact, Monday morning, which means, everybody, we killed some brain cells over the weekend. Now, I do have something to tell you. Before I get into our four great stories of the day, I went out to dinner. No, not dinner. For more like a, more for apps and some cocktails. I went out with my cousin who just moved to LA, which is so exciting. It's really interesting because I lived in LA for 9 years. And yeah, I've seen a few famous people, but every single time I hang out with my cousin, we see somebody famous. Last night we saw somebody, but before I reveal who I saw two people last night. When he was here over the summer, I was walking to my building. I was in West Hollywood walking, you know, and we walked by Catch, which is a, you know, sort of a celebrity haunt here in LA on Melrose. And we saw Peter Dinklage waiting outside with his entourage of fabulous people. And like, let me tell you something, as much as I literally love seeing famous people, there's nothing like seeing Tyrion Lannister in person. I mean, I love Game of Thrones so much, but I also loved him in X-Men. I forget what his character's name was in X-Men. He was an evil doctor in Days of Future Past, which is one of my favorite X-Men. But speaking of X-Men Days of Future Past, last night, and I'm not going to reveal where, because I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to blow somebody's spot up because I love this particular place that I go to and I don't want it to become impossible to get into. But last night I went to dinner and drinks. Apps and drinks, sorry, with my cousin. We were sitting there having our cocktails, laughing, kikiing, and I turn my head to the left and I see somebody walking back from the restroom. So I was like, this gentleman's very familiar. I know I've seen this person. I don't know if I've seen this person like IRL, like friendship-wise in real life, or if this is just a celebrity person I've seen on social media. And then I realized, oh my gosh, that isn't one of the only the iconic Jerry O'Connell, who I am such an admirer of. He's so funny, so great. I loved when he was hosting with Kelly before Kelly picked Ryan. I love him on Wendy Williams. I love him on Watch What Happens Live. He's like a really cool, just funny, seemingly very, very nice guy. And he is really nice. And then I was like, wait a second. Jerry O'Connell is married to the iconic queen that is, of course, Rebecca Romijn, who, yes, maybe many of you think of her as Mystique in the original X-Men, but for me, she will always be Daniel Meade's sister in and from Ugly Betty. Now, of course, those were different times. She would have never played that role because if you watch Ugly Betty, you know that Daniel's brother transitioned to a woman. And I think if Ugly Betty were to take place nowadays, that wouldn't happen. It would have been played by a trans actor, which would have been fabulous. But there were different times back then. Anyways, Rebecca Romijn in Ugly Betty is literally everything. And that's the first thing I thought of. But then I thought of X-Men 2. And no, I didn't go up and introduce myself because they were having dinner and they were having whatever with a group of people. And I was like, not going to interrupt because that's very intrusive. You know, they're living their best lives. But I do have to say, first of all, Jerry O'Connell is so damn handsome. I can't even. Like, so handsome. Really, like, manly, rugged looking. And Rebecca Romijn is even more beautiful in person. I mean, I was like, whoa. And I looked at my cousin, I was like, Eric, Mystique is sitting behind you. He was like, what? I was like, Mystique. I couldn't even. So it's always fun when those kind of evenings happen in LA. They happen when you're not looking or they happen when you least expect it. And it made my night because quite honestly, there are two people who I actually think are really just fabulous and iconic. And to see them IRL was just chef's kiss, creme de la creme. And again, I'm not going to blow up the spot where I did see them, but it was a great place that I do love to go. And yeah, always fun night out in LA. So that was my weekend. And now, yeah, I hope everybody else had a great weekend. But without further ado, I have four great stories for you guys to talk about because it is January 10th, which means we're already 10 days into the new year, which is just like crazy, which means we're almost at summer, which means we're almost back at New Year's, which means we're almost holiday season again, which means I have to get my Christmas gift shopping done. It's just like so preposterous how the seasons come and the seasons go, but they always come back. By the way, I watched a lot of Sex and the City over the weekend because I'm literally still reeling off of And Just Like That, the sixth episode, which was so iconic. And thank you so much to HBO and Pineapple Studios, who literally, and by the way, this isn't a plug for them, nor do they sponsor me. I just feel like I'm such a big fan. And Just Like That as a podcast that accompanies each episode from the writer's room, spearheaded by Michael Patrick King, who is like the, you know, maestro of Sex and the City and then of Just Like That, the EP. And he's also the writer, head writer, director, does it all. Also, he was the collaborating creative partner behind the genius iconic show that is, of course, The Comeback, starring Lisa Kudrow, which, by the way, I'm crossing my fingers that there isn't back to season 3 that's coming, because we need Valerie. We all need some more Valerie Cherish. Like, can you imagine Valerie Cherish in this day and age, in the age of COVID? Also, would love to see what Valerie's up to with, like, TikTok and whatnot. It would just be iconic. There's just, like, so much content that needs to come. But speaking of content, our fourth story has to do with the new show that's coming up, and I'm not going to spill the tea too early because there's a lot of other stuff I want to cover first, starting with somebody who I just absolutely admire, and that is, of course, the one and the only Demi Lovato. They're in the news, they're making headlines, and I'm living for it because they're very admirable, and I've always said this about Demi. They are so inspirational in that, you know, many celebrities are not very open and candid about their personal lives, struggle. Some people sort of mask it, even though in this day and age, I think the public welcomes that. But it's, of course, not their, it's not their responsibility to, you know, share every intimate detail of anyone's particular struggle, but Demi does that. They do that, and I love that. So, without further ado, here's our first story of the day. It comes from page 6. Demi Lovato quietly completes another rehab stint after 3 years, 3 years after overdose. I was very shocked to read this. Demi Lovato has completed another stint in rehab, page 6 can conclusively reveal. A source close to the Dancing with the Devil singer, who uses they-them pronouns after coming out as non-binary, told page 6 they returned to Utah for treatment, but is now back home and, quote, doing well. Reps for Lovato didn't return page 6's request for comment. Lovato's return to rehab came after they told fans that being, quote, California sober, imbibing alcohol and smoking marijuana would no longer work for them. Which, California sober, for those who don't know, that's exactly what it is. You sort of, it's like walking on a tightrope of, like, can you take certain substances but not others? And Demi Lovato was doing that, but I guess it didn't work for them. Quote, I no longer support my California sober ways, the 29-year-old performer shared on their Instagram story in early December. Quote, sober is the only way to be. You know what? That's very admirable. I remember talking about the story. A few weeks ago, Lovato debuted a shaved head in a photo, which eagle-eyed fans noticed to appear to be taken at the rehab facility to represent, quote, a fresh start. Speculation surrounding Lovato's whereabouts further fueled when their older sister, Dallas Lovato, shared a video of the two reuniting for Christmas on TikTok along with their sister, Madison De La Garza. Which, fun fact, as many of you may know this if you're Desperate Housewives fans, Madison played Gabrielle Solis's daughter. Iconic. I mean, the whole Lovato family is iconic. Quote, when you get exactly what you wish for on Christmas, your sister Dallas, 33, wrote over the video, adding a red heart emoji. I tricked you. I'm sorry, Demi said as they hugged a teary-eyed Madison, 20. Despite suffering a nearly fatal overdose in 2018, the I Love Me artist explained why they didn't want to be completely sober following their recovery and subsequent rehab stay. Quote, I called my recovery case manager, Charles Cook, and was like, something's not right. I'm living one side of my life completely legalizing, and this other side following a program that is telling me if I slip up, I'm going to die, they shared with Glamour magazine. The Confidence singer detailed their overdose in their YouTube documentary series, candidly detailing fans the grip their addiction had on them, from using meth and heroin to now having to receive injections to prevent from getting high. Quote, at least a few years, it can't hurt me. At least for a few years, it can't hurt me. They said of the Vivitrol injections would stop the effects of opioids. Okay, well, first of all, like I just said, I'm very proud of Demi Lovato for always being so candid and open, especially to the many fans that they have that probably, not all, but of course, there's going to inevitably be somebody that is struggling with the same type of things that Demi was. So I think that that's great. And, you know, I've been such a fan of Demi's since Sunny with a Chance. So I only wish health and love and prospering success too. So I thought that was a really interesting tidbit. But also, speaking of Demi Lovato, our second story has to do with Demi Lovato also. This is a Demi Lovato day, and I love it. E! News is reporting, you know, hard-hitting journalism, and I literally love E! News for this, that Demi Lovato debuts head tattoo after completing more treatment amid sobriety journey. This is something really cool, and I can't wait to get into the details and express my thoughts about this. Okay, so, sorry, I was like looking at TikTok for a second because I got a little carried away here. Okay, this is from E! News. The new year means a new beginning and new ink for Demi Lovato. The 29-year-old pop star debuted a new tattoo on Saturday, June 8th, after it was revealed that they had completed more treatment amid a long journey to sobriety, and more than a week after they celebrated their first New Year's holiday since coming out as non-binary last summer. Demi, who had showcased a fresh buzz cut, which was fabulous on them, just after Christmas, posted on their Instagram story a photo of a black spider tattoo decorated on the side of their head on a newly shaved patch of skin, after posting a plea to their haircut stylist to, quote, come fix my hair, please. The singer shared a passage from the Native American folk tale Grandmother Spider Brings the Light, which read, quote, it was Grandmother Spider who taught us many things. She taught us about poetry and weaving. She taught us about fire and light and dark. She taught us that we are all connected on the web, each one of us having our place in this world. Demi's ink is the creation of Dr. Wu, the popular Los Angeles-based celebrity favorite artist, has given the singer multiple tattoos in the past, including a neck tat bearing the word, quote, survivor. He inked that on the singer in December 2019, more than a year after they suffered a drug overdose that nearly cost them their life. Soon after the incident, Demi went to rehab for a few months. Okay, so I just have to say this. I think tattoos look amazing on most people. I've always wanted one myself, but I just don't think I have, like, the right... I don't give off the right, like, aura for it. But Demi does. Demi is somebody that does. Because, first of all, I think when somebody has one tattoo, it's just like, okay, it works. Then you just get a million and then you're fabulous. I think, like, I love the particular... This is my opinion about Demi Lovato's tattoos and Emilia Clarke. So Demi Lovato has many, many tattoos, which look amazing. I think she has... Sorry, they have a bird one. No, that's Emilia Clarke. Emilia Clarke has three dragons, obviously from Game of Thrones, to represent Daenerys. She has, Emilia Clarke has three on her, is it her arm or her back, which I love. And Demi Lovato has the birds on their arm. So it's really interesting, and I love it. And I love it, love it, love it. And I think, how fabulous, but a spider tattoo on your head? I mean, that is, like, fabulous. Especially with the buzz cut, as they have. It just works. And I wish that I had the hungus to get a tattoo, but I don't think I can pull it off. But maybe one day. I have many ideas of what I want. And I've shared this with my intimate group of friends. But I'm not going to share the public yet because it's just so hard being in the public eye. And, like, you know, with my big TikTok following, my big, you know, I'm just, like, everywhere I go, I have to, like, hide my identity. Like, if I got a tattoo, everybody would be like, oh my God, that's Andrew. It's just, like, really difficult. I'm totally kidding you guys, by the way. Have a laugh. You can only, you know, survive in this world if you're able to laugh and make, you know, hilarious commentary about, like, what's really not going on. It's just, like, a girl can dream. Anyways, Living For It and Demi Lovato's tattoos are inspirational. And just something that I, you know, might want to dabble into myself. This is us to our third story of the day. Speaking of royalty, because obviously Demi Lovato is royalty, the other royalty over across the pond, how Kate Middleton honors Princess Diana and Queen Elizabeth on her 40th birthday. Here are some photos, and this is some people. I love reading about the royal family. You know me, I'm a royal freak. Which, by the by, I'm really looking forward to season 5 of The Crown because, obviously, I watch at least one Harry Potter film, like, a week. A day probably isn't even, you know, too far a stretch to say. And I watched The Fifth, The Order of the Phoenix. And obviously the great Imelda Staunton, who played Umbridge in that film, is going to be the next iteration of Queen E herself in The Crown, season 5, which is really exciting. Elizabeth the Big is going to be Diana. It's going to be iconic. So I was like sort of in the royal state of mind over the weekend. But anyways, People is reporting... excuse me, Kate Middleton is paying tribute to two of the most iconic royal women in history with her new birthday portraits. The Duchess of Cambridge, who celebrates her 40th birthday on Jan 9th, released three glamorous new portraits in honor of the milestone occasion on Saturday. And Kate made sure to include a subtle nod to both Queen Elizabeth and Princess Diana. In one glamorous photo of Kate in a red satin one-shoulder gown, the royal wears a glittering pair of diamond earrings that belong to the 95-year-old monarch. Ugh, how fabulous. I mean, having access to the Queen's jewels, I can't even imagine how fabulous. That reminds me of the Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement, when Anne Hathaway is living in Genovia, and Queen Clarice, played by the iconic Julie Andrews, shows Anne Hathaway her closet, and she, like, shows her all the diamonds and all the crowns and all the tiaras that are on loan from, like, Genovia, which is, like, really iconic, which makes you think I gotta take a trip to Genovia, because I also read a really fun fact over, like, the great pandemic of 2020 when we were all in quarantine, that Genovia was the only country that didn't have one case of COVID, and that's obviously because it's run by Queen Clarice and Amelia Minuet Thermopolis Rinaldi, and it just goes to show that, like, Amelia knows what the hell she's doing, so that's my two cents on the Princess Diaries, because I literally live for it. Anyways, back to the other royal family. In a second black and white image, Kate is seen in a traditional portrait pose that shows off diamond and pearl drop earrings that belong to her late mother-in-law, Princess Diana. It makes my heart sing to read that. The earrings aren't the only homage to Diana. She also has the royal's iconic sapphire engagement ring in full view. I mean, everybody knows that Kate is lucky enough to have that beautiful ring. Kate, who has worn both earrings on a few other occasions, regularly channels Princess Diana through her royal style, and she often is seen wearing jewelry from the Queen's collection. Oh, this photo, you guys. You gotta hop online and check it out. It's on people's website. Kate is just so beautiful in the jewelry and the dress. I wouldn't say black and white, but it's kind of like a sepia. It's like the way that Harry Potter... I know, I always bring everything back to Harry Potter. It's kind of the way Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince is shot. Like, that's what a sepia look. Sepia? Is that what it's called? I don't even know, but it's, like, just iconic, and her hair looks so luscious. The royal mom will celebrate her birthday privately amid the ongoing surge in COVID-19 cases across the UK last year. She celebrated her 39th birthday with a tea party hosted by her husband and their three children, Prince George, Princess Charlotte, and Prince Louis, at their country home in Norfolk. Like, literally, how fabulous. Speaking of the royals, the royal family, when is the Prince season 2 going to come out? Because I literally need it, and I miss it so much, and I need some Queen E, I need some Prince George, and I need Sophie Turner back in my life, because honestly, that was such a great show, and it was so funny, and just, I was literally laughing my ass off. So, here's hoping that the Prince comes back on HBO Max, because it was iconic. Getting a little tired because I haven't recorded a podcast in like quite some time, but you know, I'm only going to report when there's great stories worth telling, like i.e. today, you know? Okay, this brings us to our fourth and final story, and I literally am screaming because I don't even know how I missed this one, but my bestie told me about this, and I literally started screaming, and I cannot stop watching this trailer. Deadline is reporting. Pam and Tommy trailer, Lily James and Sebastian Stan bring to life Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. Sex tape scandal. Okay, I've been literally obsessed with Pamela Anderson since forever. No, not in the way that, like, freaks and perverts are obsessed with her. I just think she's an iconic queen who literally was, like, the moment. And I'll never forget. I mean, this is, like, TMI, but, like, whatever. I'm a 32-year-old queen. When I would go to the public library in the town I grew up in with my bestie at the time when we were younger, we would, like, literally... Because, you know, when you're young, you're immature, you're like, oh, look, porn. Oh, like, boobies. Like, all that stuff. We, like, literally would look up photos of, like... She's like, have you heard of Pamela Anderson? I was like, no, who's that? She was like, look. And I, like, Googled the public library in our hometown where, like, back then they, like, didn't censor your websites. So we're, like, literally in the broad daylight at the library, like, quote-unquote, doing work, looking at funny images of Pamela Anderson. And then, of course, she was with Tommy Lee. And then, you know, the whole thing, the video came up. And I was like, whoa, what is this? A TMI. I'm not into that. That's how I knew who I was. Duh. So, anyways, I've, like, known who Pamela Anderson was forever, and I think everybody has, like, a vivid memory of when they learned who this queen was. Now, of course, we were in a different time where everything that was, people were so, people were so, it was, like, sexism at its peak back in the day, and people were just, like, treating her like she was not a human being. Like, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, but, like, she's a human being, like, for the things that have happened to her. It was so unacceptable. And I think this series, which, by the way, is spearheaded and created and I don't know if created, but directed by the director of I, Tonya, is showing Pamela in a different light. And I think this is a chance for Pamela to the narrative to be hers and not the public's, and for her to, like, just sort of it's all in Pamela's favor. So I'm gonna play the trailer for you. It's 1 minute and 45 seconds. I'm gonna read this headline article and I'm gonna get my thoughts because literally, you guys, it looks so great and it's gonna be on Hulu. So here is the 1 minute and 45 second trailer of Pam and Tommy for Hulu.
Please state your name for the record.
Please welcome Pamela Anderson.
Did you know anything at all about Mr. Lee before you met him?
I knew he was the drummer for Motley Crue.
Did you find him attractive?
I like to smile. I still do.
We're so good together, Pamela.
To everlasting love.
We have recently come into possession of a piece of material.
This is so private. It's like we're seeing something we're not supposed to be seeing.
Nobody's ever getting rich off a celebrity sex tape.
What if we sold it someplace nobody could find us?
A website.
A what site?
It's this thing on the computer. People will order the tape directly from us.
Wow, you are so hot.
What the hell is this?
I won't do it.
Copies of this are out there.
If he doesn't,
pirated copies are sprouting up all over the web.
You don't seem to understand what a big deal this is.
I'm on that tape just the same as you.
But this is worse for me.
How is this worse for you?
Oh.
Is that how you feel? Like you have to please people?
It's all I do.
Okay. Many, many things to break down. If you've seen the images of Lily James, the iconic Lily James, who you might have seen from Cinderella with Richard Madden for Disney, she's a spitting image of Pamela Anderson. It's almost frightening. Amazing hair and makeup, and I don't know if she's wearing prosthetics or if it's CGI. Amazing. And of course, Sebastian Stan as Tommy. Okay. The Sebastian Stan of it all, I mean, to me, he's always going to be Carter Bazin from Gossip Girl, who dated Leighton Meester, which is like another thing. But he is playing Tommy Lee, and they look so spot on like these two. It is frighteningly scary. And of course, Seth Rogen is in it. It looks amazing. But what really sticks out from the trailer is when Pamela, Lily James, says to Sebastian Stan, Tommy Lee, this is so much worse for me. And he goes, I'm in the tape too. And she goes, it's worse for me. And he goes, how is this worse for you? It's a different time. And what's also really interesting is when Seth Rogen says, there's this thing called the internet and we could sell it to a website that doesn't link it back to us. The fact that I, like so many of you, were alive during this period of the internet booming, social media. I mean, this is pre-social media, but like when all this was happening, is really, really crazy. And it's very nostalgic. And it's definitely something I want to watch and recap. I think there's 8 episodes that are coming out and I cannot wait to watch it because it looks amazing. Like, you can hear the excitement in my voice and the trailer looks great. And Lily James of it all, and Sebastian Stan, iconic, incredible. It's going to be something special. So definitely, look out for that. It's coming to Hulu on February 2nd. So yeah, really exciting stuff, you guys. So those are 4 stories of the day. And I think there are really good ones worth the wait for. And I hope you all had a fabulous weekend. And thank you so much as always for tuning in. I'm Andrew DeVitri, the Mistress of Pop Culture. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CastBox Radio, iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone, basically anywhere a podcast stream. Have a fabulous weekend. Be safe, be kind, get tested, get boosted. And live your best life, honey, because, you know, you just gotta. All right, everybody. I'll be back with you guys soon. Bye.